there is complete mistrust, there's complete disgust and hatred for Hong Kong's police force.
Unrest in Hong Kong as Beijing moves to clamp down on pro-democracy protesters. It's Monday, May 25th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us on Facebook and Instagram at VOA Asia. Also ahead, Rohingyas face yet another obstacle. And robots to the rescue. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Hong Kong police fired tear gas and used water cannons and pepper spray Sunday on thousands of protesters who turned out in droves to demonstrate against Beijing's plan to impose national security laws on the Asian financial hub. China on Friday revealed its plans to bypass Hong Kong's legislature to impose a national security law on Hong Kong to prevent and punish acts of secession, subversion, or terrorism activities that it says threatens national security. Journalist Rhea Mogul, who lives and works in Hong Kong, tells VOA the move already comes on top of years of building distrust among protesters and ordinary residents alike.
Just from my observation, there is complete mistrust, there's complete disgust and hatred for Hong Kong's police force. You know, it's at the minute, it's kind of hard to distinguish between who is a protester and who's just a regular, pedestrian, because everyone's wearing a face mask. We're still under COVID-19 restrictions. But even people that weren't necessarily doing the vandalizing or blocking roads were still heckling the police and shouting, you know, abuse and shouting slogans of freedom, you know, like a revolution of our time.
The proposed move, which would also allow Chinese national security organs to set up agencies in Hong Kong, has been widely criticized around the world, with the United States threatening consequences for China. Mogul says while protesters were able to halt previous legislation, this time appears different.
One of the biggest things is in 2003, 500,000 people took to the streets to oppose Article 23, which, if passed at the time, would have allowed Hong Kong to enact these laws, which would, curb sedition, secession, and subversion on its own. And after 500,000 people marched, the law was subsequently shelved. Now, this law that was announced on Thursday would actually bypass the city's legislature completely. And that has angered a lot of activists, a lot of Hong Kong people. They see it as a complete erosion of their rights. And that's one of the biggest reasons, actually, that they see one country, two systems being taken away. And the reason Beijing is coming down so hard on Hong Kong is, of course, last year's anti-government movement lasted for more than 7 months, only coming to a halt because of the spread of the coronavirus. And, week after week, we saw hundreds of thousands of protesters take to the streets, vandalize property, block roads. There were multiple skirmishes between police, between protesters, countless rounds of tear gas fired. And this would happen week after week. It was a recurring event. So, there's just a lot of anger on the pro-democracy side, and there's coming down even harder from Beijing because of this.
She says there are also concerns Hong Kong residents may face stark restrictions very soon.
It could be that in a few weeks' time, them chanting these slogans of freedom and singing their protest anthems could be illegal. And, what does it mean for journalists? What does it mean for the press? Is there going to be a decline in freedom for the press? And what does this mean for education? People are very concerned about what they're going to learn in schools and what their kids are going to learn in schools. People are just scared. There's a lot of that there is a lot of frustration, there's a lot of uncertainty, but we do know that it is going to stop or it is going to curb a lot of the freedoms that people in Hong Kong currently enjoy. In fact, today's demonstrations was also called to protest against a bill that would criminalize abuse of the Chinese national anthem in Hong Kong. And this law is meant to be debated within the LegCo, within the Legislative Committee on Wednesday. And Carrie Lam, the chief executive of Hong Kong, has called it a top priority. And you know, when passed, it could be punishable by a jail term of up to 3 years for someone if they say anything against the Chinese national anthem.
Journalist Rhea Mogul, who lives and works in Hong Kong. We invite you to read more on our top story by following us on our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook at VOA Asia and on Instagram and YouTube. These are among some of the top Asia stories you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. U.S.-China tensions rise as Beijing signals tightening controls on Hong Kong. Cyclone takes toll on infrastructure, crops in India and Bangladesh. Turbulence warnings before Pakistan plane crashed and killed 97. Afghan warring sides declare Eid ceasefire. Australia easing more COVID-19 control measures. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories and much more on Facebook at VOA Asia, as well as the voanews.com website. We continue with VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Hundreds of Rohingya refugee families who lost their homes in a devastating fire are struggling to rebuild their lives. The fire in Bangladesh's Cox's Bazar burned through more than 600 makeshift shanties that included homes and shops. VOA's Mazam Hassani Shakil has more in this report, narrated by Bejan Hamdard.
A fire caused by a gas cooker left hundreds of people out in the open with no shelter as homes and shops burned to the ground in a Rohingya refugee camp.
If I had any money in my pocket, I could arrange shelter. I could at least buy some bamboo and make a tent.
The camp settlements are very small. There is no place to take shelter in other people's houses. I'm trying to give shade to survive from the sun.
Living in the highly crowded refugee camp is hard enough, but now is even more difficult for those without homes.
We are walking here and there during the day. We are sleeping under the sky at night. We need food. We need settlement.
International donors are trying to help.
UNHCR and partners have been providing core relief items, providing temporary shelter and ensuring access to hot meals for those affected refugees. At the moment, we're clearing a site where new emergency shelters can be built and also assisting some refugees to move to other camps where they can be safely accommodated.
Refugee camps like this one are especially in danger of fire because homes are built so closely together. For Mazam Hussain Shakil in Cox's Bazar, Bangladesh, Bejan Hamdard, VOA News.
Happening now in Asia, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has reappeared in public following his second consecutive three-day absence amid rumors about his health. State media on Sunday said Kim presided over a meeting that discussed, among other things, expanding the country's nuclear war deterrence. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're starting off another week on VOA Asia. We're glad you're with us. Virtually every country in the world is suffering a severe economic downturn due to the coronavirus pandemic. But some nations have so far fared better than others in mitigating the impact on businesses and workers. VOA's Brian Patton reports that advanced countries that have moved aggressively to contain the outbreak are coping better economically, while developing nations lacking resources to protect the vulnerable are most at risk.
South Korea, Singapore, and Vietnam are examples of countries that acted early and effectively to contain the coronavirus outbreak by shuttering businesses, implementing widespread testing, and tracing people exposed to the virus. As a result, economists say, these nations are having the most success reopening their economies.
If that's in place, then as you reopen the economy, you actually can foster confidence because among the unknowns here are the way that consumers are going to respond to a gradual reopening.
Advanced countries in Asia, Europe, and North America have engaged in massive relief efforts to compensate businesses and workers for the loss of income during economic shutdowns. Countries like Germany have kept unemployment relatively low by reimbursing companies to keep idle workers on the payroll. In the United States, which is experiencing massive job losses, worker benefits are channeled through unemployment programs. But gaps in these programs have left many Americans increasingly dependent on food assistance. Developing countries struggling with widespread poverty before the pandemic have been hit especially hard by the steep decline in global exports and world tourism. Warning of a hunger pandemic, the United Nations has appealed for nearly $7 billion in humanitarian aid to help those most at risk.
If COVID-19 wreaks havoc in the poorest places, we are all at risk.
Despite a growing need for economic assistance, fiscal conservatives are increasingly resistant to boosting U.S. government debt that already has ballooned by the trillions of dollars since the pandemic began. They warn that runaway spending will necessitate tax increases and austerity measures that will slow economic growth for years to come.
If we see that people are not going back to work, then there's going to be need for further assistance. And at that point, you start to get fatigue is one of the things that you'll hear mentioned.
But until a coronavirus vaccine or reliable treatment is developed, economists say it remains difficult to forecast how long or how severe the economic downturn will be. And they warn reopening businesses too early could prolong the crisis. Brian Padden, VOA News, Washington.
This news from VOA Asia. One of two survivors of the Pakistan International Airlines flight that crashed Friday says the pilot had warned passengers of a troublesome landing in Karachi because of turbulence. 97 people on board were killed when the plane slammed into a neighborhood. 8 people on the ground were injured. You'll find all the big stories throughout the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, retailers are turning to robots to perform essential tasks that employees are no longer able to do because of social distancing regulations. The robots are cutting costs and helping to reduce the spread of infections. But as VOA correspondent Mariama Diallo reports, some fear the growing use of automation threatens jobs just as unemployment soars.
Meet Tally, a self-driving robot created by a California startup company called Simbi Robotics. The company is making the case for retailers to use more automation as coronavirus regulations forced many shops to close and workers to stay home.
Tally is a fully autonomous mobile robot that's designed to really help retailers better take inventory within retail stores.
The robotics company is leasing its shelf-scanning robots to supermarkets, drugstores, and other retailers around the world.
It creates an opportunity where there is actually more social distancing in the environment because these tasks are being performed by a robot and not a person.
Another company, Brain Corp, makes self-driving floor cleaners that can work during store hours and avoid running into people. Phil Duffy is Brain Corp's vice president.
While we're taking the dull and monotonous task of cleaning the floor, which might take 2.5, 3 hours, 4 hours in different locations, that's time saved that the janitors and the operators and the staff can now spend providing the vital and critical services to keep everything else clean.
Duffy says his goal is to help retailers, not eliminate jobs.
We're an advanced tool that allows them to perform at a higher productive level and really enables them to focus on the higher value tasks that robots aren't good at.
Great. This game is one of my favorite. First, stand in front of me.
Robots do have drawbacks, according to Michael Chui, analyst at the McKinsey Global Institute.
You know, they typically won't call in sick, but sometimes they do break. So there's some real benefits to automation, and those many of them are economic.
Economists and unions officials worry automation could replace more workers, just as the U.S. unemployment rate skyrockets and major retailers like J.Crew and Neiman Marcus file for bankruptcy. Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, all at VOA Asia. You can also see us on Instagram and YouTube. We thank you so much for joining us today, and we thank our managing editor, Diane Gao, our VOA Asia team. That includes Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Popeboom. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead. Be safe. Be well.